In Divided Washington, Relief and Disappointment at Mueller's Report. Washington, The Outrage, a clothing store in the Capitol that has branded itself a hub of the resistance to President Trump, is a place where people have often gathered to shed tears over the latest news cycle, or to buy $32 t-shirts emblazoned with expletive-laced messages calling for the president's impeachment. But on Thursday, moments after the release of the special counsel's full, if not plentifully redacted, report detailing Russian interference in the 2016 election, the outrage seemed to have momentarily left the building. No tears today. Rebecca Lee Funk, the store's founder, said of the 100 or so people who had passed through to peruse the merchandise, including $26 Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg-themed water bottles and activism-oriented children's books, early Thursday afternoon. A lot of people came to terms a month ago that this was not the report that's going to end this administration. The release of the latest big report is a Washington tradition going back generations, with players including a prosecutor and a commission or a government agency finally releasing a study on some issue of pressing national interest. On Twitter and on cable news, the battle over defining the meaning of the report by the special counsel, Robert S. Mueller III, started right on schedule. In one corner, the president distributed a Game of Thrones-style poster to his Twitter followers. Game over, read the Trumpified version. Triumphant aides took to the White House driveway. Kellyanne Conway, the counselor to the president, declared the entire enterprise a political proctology exam. In another corner, Democratic elected officials urged supporters to cover their ears when it came to the Attorney General's descriptions of the report. Others vowed to keep putting pressure on the president, whose lies they say are now well documented for all to see. The president and his Attorney General expect the American people to be blind to what we can now see. Representative Elijah E. Cummings, Democrat of Maryland and the chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, said in a statement, "This report catalogs in excruciating detail a proliferation of lies by the president to the American people, as well as his incessant and repeated efforts to encourage others to lie, but the rage-filled circus we see on our screens can sometimes bear little resemblance to life in the Capitol. On the streets of this heavily Democratic city, the release of the report seemed to be met with exhaustion-induced acceptance that Mr. Mueller had not delivered the knockout condemnation of the president it was once assumed he would." Rachel Adamiak, 27, who works at the meatball shop, said that she had noticed that everyone around town, down to her Uber drivers, wanted to talk about the news. "But she was tired. I'm just, like, so overwhelmed with this never-ending party that we have going on," Ms. Adamiak said. "I'm starting to shut it out because it makes me angrier and angrier the more that I read." A similar mood was felt at Eden, which is known around town as the anti-Trump hotel for drawing progressive visitors to a place with an in-house podcast recording studio and gender-neutral group bathrooms. "I was expecting our president to be walked away in handcuffs," Scott Wright, 46, of Atlanta, said as he was waiting for his Uber after checking out. After Attorney General William P. Barr reported last month that Mr. Mueller had determined that Mr. Trump's campaign had not cooperated with Russia, and his declaration that the president had not been guilty of any crimes relating to obstruction of justice, Mr. Wright had tuned out, "Far out, I'm actually reading more fantasy fiction," he added. The stoic feelings of progressive Washington were similarly subdued in the city's more conservative corners. Mr. Barr was able to eat his lunch at Tosca, a white-cloth Italian restaurant offering lunch specials of pan-seared octopus, pea puree, and tiramisu, in peace. And at the nearby Trump International Hotel, there were none of the cabinet secretaries, personal lawyers, or other Trump world luminaries. Instead, guests wearing "Make America Great Again" hats sipped beer and rosé. Two of the bar's four large televisions, usually fixed on CNN or Fox News, were even tuned to sports channels. "Objectively, we can agree that there's an enormous sense of relief that this has been put to bed," said Harlan Hill, a Republican strategist and Trump campaign advisory board member who visits the hotel most weeknights. "It's kind of like a rerun of a few weeks ago. We were really, really excited to have that, and this is confirmation of what we already know. Some big reports are dutifully put on a shelf and never dusted off again. Others explode in the Capitol with enormous force. Ari Melber, a lawyer and one of the many MSNBC hosts who were preparing to shuffle in a conga line of Washington-based experts and pundits on Thursday, likened the experience of parsing them to a Supreme Court ruling, a paper bomb that needed to be dissected upon arrival. The Warren Commission report in 1964 seemed to answer the important questions about John F. Kennedy's assassination, only to spawn endless conspiracy theories for decades to come. The Star Report, released by Congress sight unseen in 1998, was read aloud by television anchors who turned red as they found themselves describing sex acts in rather un-Washington explicitness. The bipartisan 9/11 Commission report in 2004 became the definitive Bible for what happened on September 11, 2001, sold more than 1 million copies and was named a finalist for the National Book Award. The Senate report on torture of detainees, on the other hand, was fought over for years and created a firestorm when it came out in 2014, but quickly seemed forgotten. The Mueller report stands to be remembered in Washington as one that was pre-litigated in partisan circles before the public ever knew what was in it. Philip D. Zelikow, a professor at the University of Virginia and the former director of the 9/11 Commission, said in an interview. He said that the overarching theme of the report, detailing a hostile government's efforts to influence an American election, at least initially will be lost in the Trump-focused fray. The first impression of what the report said was the Barr letter. Mr. Zelikow said, and then a further news conference today. That has allowed the Attorney General to shape the initial impressions and coverage surrounding this report for a month. Ken Starr, the independent counsel who outlined a case for the impeachment of President Bill Clinton during a notoriously poisonous political era, said the climate of the chattering class, of which, as a Fox News contributor, he is a member, has gotten much worse. America has always been partisan. Mr. Starr said. But to Mr. Starr, the cable TV and internet-fueled partisan wars surrounding the Mueller report's release on Thursday made dealing with the reporters who camped outside his house as he constructed his own eponymous report 21 years ago seem bizarrely quaint. Now, he said, the onslaught of news has a way of surrounding Americans, it's magnified now by the ubiquity of numerous platforms. Mr. Starr said, it's almost hard to avert your gaze or to close your ears. In the good old days, you just didn't have to read the newspapers.